All right, today we are going to be starting a new sermon series. We'll be going through the book of Colossians. And Paul, as he's writing to the Colossians, begins with a prayer for the Colossian church. His prayer for the saints, begins in verse 9 of chapter 1, and it reads this way. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. In this prayer, there are four outcomes that Paul hopes that his church, the Colossian church, will do, and I believe this prayer is a prayer that he could pray for any church. The outcomes that he prays for them, first of all, includes fruitful good works. That he wants his congregation to be active and involved in serving one another and doing good things, things that are works of goodness and mercy and kindness and grace, works of the church and righteousness and holiness, doing good works that other people can see and recognize and also praise God for. He wants his church to be about doing these good things, to be fruitful in it. The second has to do with growing in the knowledge of God, that their minds might be understanding of his truth and his word, so that the people might be knowledgeable of the one who they worship, that they might know and understand the God who might be a mystery to others, that they might know and understand the God who made and created them. Thirdly, growing in patient endurance. Living a Christian life is a challenge. It has challenges within our own thoughts and hearts. It has challenges outside. It has challenges in many different directions. Patient endurance is essential. And fourthly, the last of the outcomes is thankful worship. To sing praise to the Lord out of a thankful heart. One that is joyful because of what the Lord has done and thankful for what he has given, so that worship might come from thankfulness. As the book of Colossians will unfold, Paul will reveal many things about how these people, this Colossian church, and about how we can fulfill this prayer that he's making. But where Paul is going to begin and where we will begin is that Christ is at the heart of everything. Christ is at the very center of everything that we should be about and everything that we can do. Christ is at the very heart of everything that exists. And when we see that and recognize that, it will promote us to be joyful worshipers and joyful to be in his kingdom. You see, everything was created, and it all exists, and it exists because Christ has made all things. It's important that we are firmly rooted. The passage that we'll be looking at begins in verse 13. And you might say that the thing that binds all of this together is a simple phrase. Three important details about the kingdom of God's Son. Let's pray as we get into his word today. Almighty God, you have given us this wonderful thing that is salvation. And yet we do not always fully understand its depth or its might. I pray, Lord, today that as these thoughts have been put on my heart and put down on paper, that they would be things that reflect your word. I pray, Lord, that our hearts, meditating upon your word, that we might better and more deeply understand who you are and what you've done, that we might better appreciate the kingdom of your Son. Lord, bless us today as we open your word together. Amen. Paul's first point about the kingdom of God's Son here in verses 13 and 14 is that we are placed in the kingdom of the Son. That we are placed there. Verse 13 and 14 read this way. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. He has brought us in. He has placed us there within the kingdom of the Son. You see, the point of what Jesus has done for us is he's brought us out of a kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of sin. God has brought us out of there by Jesus' own death. And by that payment, he's made reconciliation for us. You see, there are two kingdoms that exist on that level. There is a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness, and God's kingdom is the kingdom of light. Because of sin and its entering into the world, a second kingdom was created, a kingdom of darkness. We are, in many ways, born into that kingdom. Our lives are often marred by sin, even from an early age. We don't want to follow the rules. We don't want to do what's right or loving towards someone else. We want to do what's good for ourselves. That kingdom of darkness is but a small thing maybe in the beginning, but it can grow. What Paul is saying to the Colossians and what reminds us of the truth is that we are brought and placed into the kingdom of light. That we have been placed into a different kingdom and brought out of that darkness of sin so that we might have reconciliation. That we might be brought close to God. This is brought about because of the Son's redemption. That means that he paid the price for us. That he bought us with his own blood and his sacrifice upon the cross. He bought us out of slavery to sin so that he might own and possess us, that we might be part of his own kingdom. This process also brings for us forgiveness. It means that God does not remember our sin anymore. That it is wiped from his memory. He no longer recalls it. It no longer influences his feelings or decisions towards us. We are forgiven. It is wiped away. And all of this has taken place because the Son of God died on the cross. That he spilled his own perfect blood, sinless life for us so that we might be forgiven. So that we might be reconciled to the Father. So we might be adopted as his children. We are placed into the kingdom of the Son. We have been moved, taken out of darkness, taken out of that kingdom, and placed with Jesus, placed with God, placed in the kingdom of heaven. We have been placed there. But many times we will maybe not think of the great value that that really has. We may not grasp the depth of that detail, and we may not appreciate what has really been accomplished on our behalfs. Many of us are thrilled that our sin is forgiven, and there should be thrill and joy and thanksgiving for that. Many of us are thrilled that we have a relationship with God that has been reconciled and made new as if we had never sinned, and we should be thankful and have gratitude for that. But there is a greatness of the kingdom of the Son that we may not appreciate. Paul is making clear in the next few verses that the greatness of the kingdom of the Son is something that we should be so joyful as to have received. Verses 15 through 20 read this way. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It is fashionable today to talk about Jesus as merely his human name, to simply talk about him and say, Jesus did this, Jesus did that, and there is a place for referring to him by merely his human name. But there is another word that we often maybe misuse, but don't use enough in its proper way, and that is the word Christ. The word Christ means that Jesus is the anointed king, that he is the one who is ruler over all of God's creation. Paul is here referring to Jesus and talking about the amazing things that Jesus, the Son of God, the King of all of God's kingdom, has done. The list is lengthy, and I won't go into all of it, but it is important to see the point that Paul is making. That is that God's kingdom and his Son existed from the very beginning. That God's King and God's Son were there all the time from the point of creation onward. So that when this Son comes to earth, he is not coming as a new creation or a new person. He has already existed, and so has the kingdom that he owns. You see, when God created the universe, he made for himself a kingdom. He made for himself a place that he would own and be in charge of. And see, it pre-existed all of us. The kingdom of heaven already existed before the Son of God took on flesh. 2,000 years ago, that Son, who was responsible for the creation of the universe, touched down in human form here on earth and was born of a virgin. He was already king. He already existed over everything that acknowledged God as Lord and worshiped him. The king already existed over God's kingdom. You see, the kingdom of darkness never conquered heaven. The kingdom of darkness never took over God's throne or God's resting place. The kingdom of darkness never latched hold of that place or overthrew it. Jesus came here to bring that kingdom of heaven to us. The kingdom of heaven now exists here on earth. It now exists because the Son of God brought it and opened the doors for us that we might enter into it. The kingdom of heaven is now here on earth. The form of that kingdom, the form of God's kingdom on earth, is the church of Jesus Christ. the form by which God rules and reigns here on earth is us. We can take for granted that we have been saved, and we can take for granted the forgiveness that we have received, and we can take for granted all of these blessings for which we are immensely thankful. But we have been placed within a kingdom that is not one that we built, nor could we ever. We have been placed within a kingdom that is the kingdom of heaven. It's the reason why Paul can say that we are citizens of there. We belong there. It is where God has called us to. We are citizens of that kingdom. Paul refers to this church as a body of Christ, of which he is the head. It means that we, who are believers in Jesus, we all form a corporate group together, bound by salvation, finding our leadership and our direction in Jesus Christ. The greatness of this kingdom of the Son is so immense and so great that it is hard to communicate. We are now heirs of a kingdom that is eternal and will never fall to the darkness. We are part of a kingdom that existed before all of creation. We are part of a kingdom that has God as its king. We have been made and placed in this kingdom. And our sins are forgiven. And our relationship with God is sure. And our rule and reign with him will be forevermore. Which is why Paul ends this section with a firm instruction. He says, do not be moved from the kingdom of the Son. Do not be moved. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Before you came to Jesus, you were alienated from God. In fact, we were enemies of God because of our sin and evil behavior. But now he has reconciled us by that death of Jesus upon the cross, so that we are now free from sin and blemish, so that we are holy and acceptable in his sight. And so Paul says, do not be moved. Do not move from this secure and beautiful position, this place of blessing, this place that you are thankful to be in. Do not be moved. You have been placed in this kingdom of Jesus Christ. Remain. Do not lose and remove yourself out of it. I think there's some applications that we can make from this instruction. as Paul was giving his opening prayer, his last concluding point was that we are to be thankful in our worship, to be praising the Father in a thankful way. You are here in a place of worship, a place of grateful thanksgiving to the Father for what he has done in your life. That spot in worship that you maintain today, do not be moved. Make it a part of your regular life, your regular existence, to be here on a regular Sunday, giving praise to God for the things he has given you and blessed you with. Do not be moved. Another part of Paul's prayer was that we are to be growing in the knowledge of God and our understanding of who he is, so that we are not merely absent-minded followers, but that we are understanding of God and his will. Are you participating in a thing that builds up your understanding of God? Are you participating in something that encourages your growth and the knowledge of your Creator? Are you participating in some sort of discipleship? Do not be moved. Do not be moved from a spot of learning and knowing God better, learning and understanding his will at a greater depth. Be regular in your discipleship. If you have a class seat in your Sunday school or in a devotional outside of your Sunday school class, be regular. Occupy that seat. Do not be moved. But lastly, and most importantly, if you have come to believe in Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you have come to acknowledge him as Savior from your sin and Lord of your life, do not be moved. Do not be swayed by other gospels and other words that might be spoken. Do not be swayed by false truths and false claims. Do not be swayed by the world's accusations. Do not be swayed by the worries and stress that might pull you away. Do not be moved. For you have been placed into the kingdom of the Son. You have been placed into the eternal kingdom that God made and created at the very beginning of time, and it shall never fall to the devil's attempts and attacks. Do not be moved. For you have been purchased by the Son and brought into his wonderful kingdom of light. Do not be moved. Lord, as we hear the words of Paul and encouragement to the Colossians, as we hear the wonder of the place in which we have been placed, I pray, Lord, that we will give our all to you, that we will be within this kingdom, heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we might love you with all that we are, that we might grow in the knowledge of you, and that we might be thankful in our worship, that we might be enduring with our patience. Lord, that we might be saved believers firmly rooted in the kingdom of the Son. Lord, as we pray today, we ask your grace and mercy on our lives, that you might strengthen us, that you might give us resolve to be able to do the very things that you have called us to and that Paul prayed for the church about. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength and endurance, that we might run the race and not grow weary. Lord, we pray your blessing on this worship service today and all of its worshipers. In Jesus' name. Amen.